had cosmological explanations, as Mesopotamians did, as Egyptians did. They attributed the origins of everything to something or other that the gods had done that was more or less understandable and that happened a long time ago. Slowly but surely, the Greeks began to recognize that all of these answers were contradictory, that all of these answers were different, and that many of these answers seemed to contradict plain common sense. Surely the world is not as these poems describe it. Now you may say, well, what about the Olympian deities? What about the familiar deities of the Greek world? Do they play some role in this process? The Olympian deities, that is to say, Zeus and Hera and so on, the great gods and goddesses who were thought to live on Mount Olympus. The Greeks, generally speaking, did not turn to their Olympian deities for understandings of how their world got here, of what their world was. They would turn to those deities, and they did this, for example, in Homer's Iliad, and they did this in Greek drama after Greek drama after Greek drama, and in other poetic works too, as a way of explaining how societies worked, how human emotions worked, how human feelings worked, how we are motivated to behave as we are. But there's an interesting problem we face, connection with the Greek deities. We can certainly read Greek literature and say that we know how the Greeks talked about their gods, and we can be pretty confident that we know that in talking about their gods, the Greeks were talking about themselves. The deities were, in a certain sense, a great screen on which the Greeks projected themselves so they could watch themselves. But those deities were not asked to explain the origins of everything, what underlay everything. That is the turn the Greeks made. That is a parting of the ways from religious explanations for things that is at the dawn of Greek philosophy. Did Greeks, once they began inventing philosophy, cease being religious? Well, I dare say those people in Athens, about whom we spoke in one of our earlier lectures, who built the Parthenon, who built the temple to Athena Parthenos, were not people who had abandoned religion. But religion played different roles from them, for them, for the Greeks, than it would subsequently for them, and that it had already and would continue to have for other people. Now, if philosophy means the development of a formal intellectual discipline, what do I have in mind by that? I have in mind, basically, the elaboration of three very basic questions. It was in posing these questions, in elaborating these questions, that the Greeks took this step of inventing what we call philosophy. First question, what is the world made of? What is the world made of? Now, slowly but surely, as the Greeks thought about that, and I think we'll see this as we go along, they were working in a realm much closer to what we would think of as natural science. All right? And we'll ask something about why they would have started there and how then, slowly but surely, natural science may eventually part ways from philosophy in the strict sense. In the second place, how can we know? What is the nature of knowing? Now, we can put a fancy name on that. That's epistemology, the science of knowing. What does it mean to know? If I say I know something, what does that mean? How do we know? Finally, third question, what should we do? How should we behave? We can turn philosophy towards ourselves, and we can elaborate ethics and morals. So, philosophy asks questions about that world out there. It asks questions about how we know, and it asks questions about what we ought to do. It is in the elaboration of formal questioning and formal answering like that that Greek philosophy is born. And this is something that, at least in that form, does rise in Greece. Now, the Greeks always drew a distinction between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is the accumulation of information. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts and details. Wisdom is a way of thinking that stands behind this, that informs this, that is basic to this. What we really want in the end is wisdom. What we really want in the end is wisdom. Now, this is a bit like saying, I mean, how many of us have friends who are enormously intelligent people and sort of have no common sense? We might say, well, very smart, but not very wise, you see? Now, that's a rather crude way of putting the same point, but it's as if some people can be very, very well informed, and yet there's something lacking just a little bit in sort of how they go about their business. All right. Well, when Aristotle talked about the rise of the quest for wisdom, he and most of those who have followed him said we must start in Ionia. We must start among the